6 gates, Medine versus Ashcroft. Go on.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, I'm Godfrey Mwangi for the petitioner, Mr. Tedros Medellin. This case comes here from the Board of Immigration Appeals, which affirmed the immigration judge's decision denying Mr. Medellin asylum and withholding of removal and ordering that he be removed from the United States and be deported to Eritrea. And the immigration judge based his decision on the fact that he did not believe that Mr. Medellin had proved that he had a well-founded fear of persecution if returned to his home country. The immigration judge had problems with Mr. Medellin's credibility, which arose from certain errors made in his application, the I-589, which errors had been corrected at Mr. Medellin's asylum interview on March 11, 1999 by the asylum officer, which corrections had been confirmed at the hearing before the immigration judge on February the 21st, 2001. And the immigration judge also found that the corroborating letter or document that Mr. Medellin presented, because it was in English, was not really authentic, because the immigration judge concluded that English is a language not used in Ethiopia, although the State Department says it's used in Ethiopia, so says the United Kingdom's Foreign Office in its assessment, and also the CIA World Factbook says that language is used in Ethiopia. The immigration judge...
The question is not whether people speak English in Ethiopia. People speak French in the United States. The question is whether it's used in the conduct of official business by government agencies.
Your Honor, as our appendix shows, the references I just made to the State Department's documents in our appendix and the documents by the CIA and the Foreign Office of the United Kingdom do state that English is used in official circles in the conduct of business in Ethiopia. And the Board of Immigration Appeals requires that if the immigration judge makes a finding, that he back it up with a source. In matter of SMJ, a January 1997 holding by the Board of Immigration Appeals, the board says that it understands that immigration judges will become knowledgeable about country conditions and background information over time, but that they need to supplement the record if they hold that a particular fact is known to them. They need to say how they know it. And this particular immigration judge said English is not used, but did not say how he knows it is not used in Ethiopia. And the immigration judge questioned petitioner's claim that his wife and his children were in danger in that country, and the letter that his wife had written to him, and the immigration judge questioned that letter, saying that it didn't really say what circumstances his wife was in. The letter states that the wife had fled when the authorities came looking for her through the back door of their house, that she was preparing to flee to Kenya, that a friend was going to help her financially, which seemed to be descriptions of her particular circumstances.
Okay, I just looked at the CIA's World Factbook, and it describes the English as, quote, major foreign language taught in schools. It doesn't say or imply that it's used by the government in the conduct of official business.
Your Honor, we cite to the United Kingdom's Foreign Office's assessment for Ethiopia. It is in our appendix, and it says that English is widely used in official circles in Ethiopia.
It's a different proposition, I think.
Your Honor, it's a credible source.
Come back to French. During the Imperial Russian government, English was widely used among the Tsar's circles. French was widely used among the Tsar's circles. But it doesn't imply that it was used in official communications of the government.
Your Honor, I concede the point, and I agree you're correct, but I go back to...
One could, I assume, look in official Ethiopian regulations or practices which would describe what language is to be used in governmental communications and find the answer.
I agree completely, Your Honor, and our argument is that the board has said that if the IJ points to that as his reason, he needs to back it up, and this IJ did not back it up, which is exactly your point, because the IJ said English is not used in Ethiopia, but pointed to nothing to support his holding. And the BIA has said if he knows it, he needs to provide substantiation for the record how he knows it. If there are no other questions from the court, I reserve my time for rebuttal.
All right, Mr. Malonki. Ms. McKay.
May it please the court. Your Honor, Leslie McKay for the respondent, John Ashcroft. I think what's missing at this point about this case is the critical issues. Number one, the petitioner failed to exhaust his administrative remedies with respect to the issue of past persecution. He did not appeal the immigration judge's finding that his past harm did not rise to the level of persecution to the Board of Immigration Appeals. Therefore, the court lacks jurisdiction to consider his arguments in that regard at this point. And number two, is whether this record compels a result contrary to that reached by the immigration judge on the issue of well-founded fear. In this case, the immigration judge appropriately took administrative notice of changed conditions in Ethiopia, and he warned the petitioner that he was going to do so at a hearing prior to the hearing at which testimony was taken. The immigration judge said to the petitioner that he was aware of a change in conditions. He was aware that a ceasefire had been declared between Ethiopia and Eritrea, that he was aware that United Nations peacekeepers had been deployed along the border, and that he was aware that forcible deportations were no longer continuing. He warned the petitioner that he would need to come forward with additional evidence corroborating the continued reasonableness of his fear of future persecution. And what the petitioner put forth was his own testimony and a letter from his wife stating that the peace treaty was only a charade. On balance, weighing out that evidence against the facts administratively noticed by the immigration judge, this record does not compel reversal. It does not compel the conclusion that petitioner's fear of future persecution is reasonable. And if the court has no particular questions, I'm happy to submit on the arguments made in brief.
Thank you, Ms. McKay. Ms. Malonki?
Your Honor, in this case, a mishap occurred when the then Immigration and Naturalization Service, now the Department of Homeland Security, filed inadvertently the country condition report for India instead of Ethiopia. And the country condition report for Ethiopia for the year 2000 showed that the Ethiopian government was actively preventing Eritreans who exited Ethiopia to return to Ethiopia.
Mr. Mwanga, you might want to discuss the argument that the claim has not been preserved in the administrative process. And I noticed that the argument that the respondent just made was also made in their brief, and you chose not to file a reply brief. So this is your last opportunity to address this question.
Your Honor, the immigration judge raised issues in his decision which went to the credibility of the claim presented by my client, and we have dealt with the decision as the immigration judge made it. The appeal before the board was not reviewed by the board. The board chose to affirm the immigration judge's decision, and I'm puzzled by the respondent's position because nothing was reviewed by the board, and I'm not sure whether it would have made a difference what issues were laid out to the board or not.
It is, I think, an important principle of administrative law that you can't ask a court to set aside an administrative order on a ground that you have not presented to the administrative agency. And that, I take it, is the argument, that you're presenting to us a different set of arguments from the ones presented to the Board of Immigration Appeals.
I believe, Your Honor, they've misread the brief presented to the Board of Immigration Appeals. I believe that it attacks the immigration judge's decision, and the immigration judge's decision is dealt with as it dealt with my client's claim. And the brief that prior counsel filed deals with the merits of my client's case. And I see what they raised in their brief, and I believe that they do raise issues that I don't believe amount to anything but red herrings. And my client's brief on appeal to the board does raise the issues that I believe we are raising on appeal.
If it had been properly raised, that would have been a good thing to show in a reply brief. When a procedural argument is made, we expect counsel to address it.
Your Honor, we believe that we raised the issue sufficiently on appeal to the BIA. We believe we raised them in our leading brief, and we believe that this case merits a reversal of the BIA's decision and remand so that the BIA corrects the IJ's decision.
Thank you. Our thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement. The court will stand in recess.